Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today, we're in part 66 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is the 66th consecutive message that I've brought on this particular subject. I have probably preached many thousands of messages on the same subject, because every time I bring a message, I always tell people how to have God's life living in you. And there are many people, such as Joyce Myers, who finally got the message. She stated that her pastor had never taught her such a thing as that, and she realized that she had to have God's life living in her. And there are many other preachers, and now it took me several years of preaching this message to where now everybody that I see on television is preaching that same message, that you must have God's life living in you in order for you to become immortal, eternal, everlasting. And so I am extremely happy, because I feel like I might be like obscure intestine in the body of Christ, you know. A body is no good without intestines in it, amen? So I'm the gut, possibly, and I love to pass my, not my gut feeling, but the feeling that the Lord puts in my gut, the spirit that he puts in there, and pass it on to others. Because I really have had no desire to be on television, except when Susie was alive. I wanted her to be on television because she preached the gospel better than anyone I've ever heard in my life. And so I thought it was just really sort of a waste of time to be on the streets when she could be blanketing the whole United States and the world. And so I got us on television. I went down to Channel 13 in Los Angeles, KCOP, and I made arrangements with them to tape our television program over there. And then I went to Channel 9, and we started taping there, and Channel 5, and other channels, Channel 9. Then I went we moved over to Nashville, Tennessee, and I made arrangements at Opryland to televise our program there. And then I had our own facilities installed in our church at Dyer, Arkansas. It's spelled D-Y-E-R. That's where Susie was raised when she was a child. Built a big church there, and Opryland assisted me in installing our equipment. We put over 30 miles or more of television conduit underneath the slab of the church. And we had outlets throughout the church where we could plug television cameras in here and there, and we had risers. And I also had a booth over on the side. We could seat, it was a small church, we could seat around 2,500 in it. Actually, it's bigger than the churches we have now, but we've got so many of them. There are churches in Africa that we have over a quarter of a million and a half a million people in the churches. These are things that have been obscured from you people that are in Radio Land, but these are, we have literally hundreds and hundreds of churches all over the world. And you, on each broadcast, can hear that from the different letters that they write me and tell me of all the souls that are being saved with the literature that the Lord has given me. And now the tapes on the radio stations, that the messages that the Lord gives me on these tapes. And in that church in Dyer, we would have the crew from Opryland. They helped build the studio for me, and they would come down and televise. We'd tape the program right at our facility there in Dyer. And then we'd bicycle it around the United States. And now we have our own digital equipment, and it's so modern and new at our church near Texarkana that nobody in our organization knows how to run it. And so I'm recruiting someone back in the days when we were on television. That's going back around 24 years ago when we had the number one gospel television program. After Susie died, I never did really want to preach the gospel. I wanted to be the person that would make the money to finance the gospel. That's what I felt my calling was, but Susie would tell me all the time that I was supposed to preach the gospel also. But she says, you are a preacher that too crude and you're too brutally honest. And she says, you'll just be ruined because people will hate you because you pull the lid off of everything to where people can clearly see. And I said, well, Susie, if you're going to do something, I mean, I got to do it. I just can't be, one of these diplomatic preachers. Jesus wasn't a diplomat, and either were the prophets. They told the people what the Lord was telling them to tell the world, and Jesus was the Lord himself, and he was God himself. He's the Holy Spirit, and he just told it like it was. He didn't care if when he would call people snakes and dogs and pigs. He said that all the time, and you hear all these people with their affected voices, and if people want to listen to them, you can, but they're not frank with them. And personally, I would prefer talking to somebody or listening to somebody that's out front and you know exactly where they're coming from. But at any rate, we're on television, and now we have all this equipment, and I'm looking for somebody that knows how to run modern, up-to-date equipment. I do have a crew in Little Rock, but they're busy doing golf shows and basketball, football, baseball, and all that. And they said they'd come down as soon as we have a intro for the TV program. Like I say, I'm sort of dragging my feet on it because I'm not that interested in going on television. I'd rather feed these other television evangelists. I feel like Samson, who ties the firebrands onto the tails of the foxes and let them preach the different things that I say. They pick and choose a lot of the things that I'm saying, but they eliminate a lot of the things that I'm saying. So if you want to hear the real gut truth, the real from a person that really doesn't care what the people say or think about him, well, tune in. Amen? And then you'll get the real stuff. And then you'll hear smidgens of it here and there on different stations. Some of them have different levels of guts, intestinal fortitude. And so, but here, no holds are barred. You know, I just, everything goes, right? I'll throw the kitchen sink in too for you. All right. Right now we've got some letters and everything, and more messages on how to have God's life living in you. And also this is tape or program number 168. So if you want a copy of it, we'll give you copies. We'll tell you four different ways how to receive it. But right now let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to come down with whatever He wants, no matter how crude it is, Father. No matter how much it offends people, because when you're in the Bible speaking of offenses, it's primarily you're the one that's offended, but you don't want people to offend your people by leading them astray. That's the biggest offense. It'd be better for a person to have a millstone hung around their neck, the size so huge of a millstone that it would take an ox to pull it or drive it, than it would be for a person to offend, that if a person would offend one of the least of your people, If they do, that means to lead one of the least of your people astray. So we know that the Word of God is true. Christopher Columbus believed that, and he believed that the world was round and sailed off into an area of the ocean where people thought he was going to fall off. But he didn't, because he based the truth of that the world was round in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And so I know that you're coming back to earth again soon, Jesus, with your Father, by the Spirit. And so I know that the world is in desperate need to hear the whole truth, all the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And Lord, let that truth flow from your throne, from beneath your throne, and into me, my mouth, and let my mouth be your mouth today, Lord. Let everything that you want said, then just say it through me, that the world will be saved, and that the people in the church will be edified. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, where's the first letter from?
From Malawi, Africa.
Malawi, okay. Well, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear brethren, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We greatly appreciate your literature. We have read books written by Tony Lamo, and it stimulates our spiritual inner parts. We ask for more.
The inner parts, that's what I was just talking about, the intestinal fortitude. All right. Then what?
We ask for more from your ministry. We hereby request for some Bibles and literature and taped messages, as these will go a long way to deepen and widen our spiritual growth and to be able to share with others in this field. We will be grateful if you meet our request. Yours in Christ, Reverend Nashan from Malawi, Africa.
I got a real kick out of Joyce Myers. She looks squarely into the camera and says, I got it from you, and you got it from the Lord, and I'm using it. She doesn't have to be that nasty to me. Amen?
Amen.
Well, she can use, anyone out there can use any of the material that I write or you hear me preach. It's for God, I got it from the Lord, and it's the Lord's, and it's for you to use to win souls. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Because no matter what, whatever we do, whether man gives us credit for it or not, we're getting credit for it in the kingdom of heaven. You know, heaven is going to be one of the biggest upsets that ever happened on the face of this earth or in heaven when heaven comes down to earth. The people that were pushed down and oppressed in this world will be exalted to the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ones that are making a big show of themselves in the world today will not be in heaven. They'll be down in hell because the Lord never knew them. I can tell that they're not preaching by the Spirit. They're preaching by the letter, a lot of them. And some of them are preaching good messages now and then, but they put too much heresy into other messages for them to be of the Lord at all. All right, and that makes me sad. And I just pray that these kind of messages are going to get a hold on them, because I'm not exalting myself. I'm exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. These messages come from the Lord, and I don't know how to talk at all unless it's the Lord talking through me. You can ask people around me that if I talk as well after I'm off the air as I do while I'm on the air, and they'll tell you, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't at all, because it's not me that's talking now. Jesus said, the words that I say are not my own, but they're the Father's. And I say the same thing. Okay, now go ahead. Next. Who's the next one from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right.
Dear World Pastor Lamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am very happy to write you this letter. How are you, Pastor? I am happy to tell you of the tremendous change in 46 Hindu people that are now added to Christ's family. I gave some newsletters to my Hindu friends who do not know who Christ is, and when I visited them, they all expressed great joy, as they have all been revived in the Spirit and are doing well and received Christ as their personal Savior as a result of reading your newsletters. These people are hungry for the Telugu Bibles, so kindly send me about 100 Telugu Bibles and some Telugu literature newsletters for new converts who are in need of excellent messages to grow more in Christ and Christianity.
Okay, in India we have a printer there, and I want the office to send the name and address and phone number of the printer in India so that they can order their Bibles and literature from them. And what I always do is I have the church send them money in advance so that there's plenty of Bibles available. And I just want also the brother that I have doing that in the church to call him and ask him if we're running a little short over there. If we are, then I request the church to send him more money. Me, I have nothing, you know, and I don't want to have anything, because anytime the government thinks I have something, they want to take it away. They're thieves, and it's the mafia, these guys. The world government, amen?
Amen?
Run by the Antichrist. They are the Antichrist, part of the Antichrist body, along with the news media. And of course, the head honcho is the Vatican in Rome. Okay, then what?
World Pastor, I invite you to Hindu country, India. I will arrange gospel meetings. If it is impossible, please send co-pastors to India.
I am sending Buster and his wife, and Buster is a very good Christian. He's number one on my list for being able to take care of the Lord's business, and so he'll be there in Africa and India. He's being sent by the church, by the church, to take money to people that really need it there in literature, and to give them a briefing on all the different things, and for us to be able to see that the need is really there. And if it is, we're going to take care of that need as best we can. And we'll need your support out there, because the need is so great in the world that it would be impossible for us or any one entity without help from the people, the body of Christ, to do the job that needs to be done. I believe if even we had billions of dollars, that still wouldn't be enough. There's a lot of people that are hurting out there. Okay, and there's different ministries that are saying that they're doing things, and I've sent them tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, but I pray, you know, that they are doing with it what they say they will. The water wells in Africa and so on and so forth, buildings for the people in
Mongolia,
children were sleeping in the sewers and freezing to death down there, and so we send enough money to build them a dorm. We bringing oppressed Jews out of Russia and giving them money for soup lines and everything in Israel. And it just goes on and on. I don't want to just keep harping on stuff like that. But we could use a lot of money. And so send it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can reach out to these people. And if you don't trust me, well, then just ask me for the addresses of where this money is supposed to go, and I'll gladly give it to you. I don't care to send it here and then me send it over there. But I'll give you the addresses, and you can send the money directly to the people if you like. Okay, then what else?
I hope it will be a good way to win heathen souls and some Christian souls. Once again, thank you very much for helping me to send me over there to earn excellent knowledge to win souls and raise the roof of the kingdom of God. Now I am sending some of my previous ministry photographs, your brother in Christ, Jaya, from Western Godavari District, Andhra Pradesh.
Andhra Pradesh. Where?
India.
Okay. You say Wyndham, Montana. Well, where's that at? You know, there might be Montana or someplace. Billings, okay, or Joplin. But people want to know, United States of America or where? I mean, London, England, right?
Yes, sir.
But there's the London, Ontario also, so people like to know. There's a Paris, Arkansas, and also you may have heard of Paris, France. So let's tell people where they are, right? And then where's the next letter from?
From Ghana, West Africa.
Okay. Oh, no, we have West Africa. Okay, then go ahead.
Dear Pastor Lomo, peace be unto your name. Amen. May the good God bless you for the good work you have been doing worldwide. I was sleeping in my room and I heard someone knocking at my door. I woke up and told that person to come in. Then I saw the face of a boy who stays next to my room. He showed me a little book entitled The Messiah. He was holding about four and he gave me one. I was thinking that he was selling them, but he told me that no, it absolutely was free of charge. So I collected it and read through it, and after reading it, my life is changed into a new life, and I know that the Lord is good. So, sir, my reason is that I want you to send me some of your 90-page books so that I can distribute them also, and newsletters. Thank you, and I hope and pray that God will send me what I have requested through you and your ministry. Signed, Badu from Ghana, West Africa.
Well, yeah, let's send it out there. And if you read the Messiah book, and we have it in almost all the major languages, I think we have it in all the major languages, that book proves without a shadow of a doubt, of any doubt whatsoever, that Jesus is truly the Messiah, and that all religions are false. Only, see, religion cannot save your soul. In other words, religion is of the devil, but salvation is of Jesus, of the Lord. And you must be born again. So you were first born of water. Everyone that comes into this world has to come in the same way. And that is of water. But anyone that gets in the world to come has to be born again of the Spirit. You must have the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father by the Spirit living in you. And all you have to do is ask him to come in, and he will. He never turns anyone down. And you need to ask him to wash you in his precious blood. So a lot of people say, well, I was born, you know, homosexual or a lesbian. That's all the more reason that you need to be born again, amen, because you will not enter the kingdom of heaven as a lesbian, a homosexual, an adulterer, a fornicator, a liar, a thief. And we've all done those things, but we need to be born again in the Spirit, washed in the blood, and have the power of God in us so that we don't sin anymore. All right, then go ahead. Is that it? That's it? All right, Sharon, let's begin now.
People are going to talk about those of us that are preaching the gospel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, you can... not everybody agreed with Jesus, and it's for sure not everybody agrees with us. People that don't agree with Jesus don't agree with the Bible, because the Bible says that the Word of God is Jesus. Because the Word came into the world as the flesh. God was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came into the world as flesh. So God, the Word, came into the world in a human. And he told everybody things and introduced us to who God was. Before that time, God was arbitrary. You couldn't figure out what he was or what he looked like. When Jesus came into the world, we know now what he looked like. And Jesus, you hear all these things on radio now, the experts say, the experts and the research people, and they're wondering if the Bible is really true. And are Christians really believing the truth? Is there more to the Bible than what we know? But these people are liars, and they're doing everything in their power to prevent or to try to persuade you not to believe in the Word of God. We know that the Word of God, the Bible, is absolutely true, because just like Christopher Columbus, he knew that it was the truth, and he knew that the world was round. Now, you may think that that's something that is just well known today, but in that time, when he was living, nobody believed that. But he found it in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Amen?
Amen.
And so he trusted the Word of God, the Bible, and went on. Now, back then, they could have told him, no, the Word of God is not true. The world is flat. Just as flat as you people are today that are preaching these things that the Bible isn't true. The Bible said that us Jews would be preaching the gospel to you Gentiles. The Gentile era of time is over with. The Gentile age is over with. You people are finished so far as preaching the gospel is concerned. We are the number one preachers in the world, we Jews. 144,000 of the elect. Because you are preaching false doctrine, you people. Now, some of you are preaching the truth, but on the whole, the Gentile age is over with in 1947 and 8, when the Jews were returned to Israel. There were many years that they were dispersed, ever since Titus had destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D. They didn't have their own home, and they were dispersed all over the world because they rejected the Messiah. Not all of them, because the first Jews were the first believers. If it was, and the Jews are the ones that wrote the Bible. You people wouldn't even have a Bible if it wasn't for us. We wrote the Bible. So don't be telling us about the Bible. Ask us. Amen?
Yeah.
If you want to know what the Bible says, especially the people in America and other parts of the world, you don't know what the Bible, you don't know the customs of the Jews. And a lot of the things that are in the Bible that are said, I hear them completely off base with them. So, but there are Gentiles that study the Word, that are born again of the Spirit, and that are students of the Word, and some of them are right on. But per se, the Gentile dispensation is over. Now the dispensation is back to us Jews. The Bible said we'd be like 144,000 John the Baptist making the way of the Lord straight, because the Gentiles have corrupted and made the Word of God crooked so that it's very hard for people to understand it. And that's why you hear so many complaints in the letters about the other churches, preachers, when they write letters to me, because they know they don't feel anything. They feel like they're dead, that the word that they're hearing is not really explained properly to where they understand it. It's because the people that are preaching it are not, many of them are not spiritual. Some are, I'm sure. We'd see these people that are being saved through my literature, and they're out preaching the gospel, and they're winning souls. You hear them, well, we won 100 souls today, and 200 souls, or 900 souls, and things like that. So they're preachers, and they're doing a good job. They're all part of the body of Christ. But on the whole, where it's the Jewish dispensation now. And God said, I'll bless them that bless the Jew, and I'll curse you people that curse the Jew. There's some people that are even Christians that are not mature. They believe that the Jews are the ones that are wrong in Israel. And the Jews are not the ones that are wrong as far as that land is concerned over there. That land belongs to them, not the Palestinians. The Palestinians are not Jews. And that land belongs to them. And the Jews are such pacifists. They've just let them push them into just a very narrow strip of land over there. And they actually, God gave them Arabia and everything, and they just let people push them out of the land. But anyway, back to how to have God's life living in you. Now they're going to tell you that we're they're mocking us and scoffing us, just as they did Noah, when Noah was telling them that there's the end of the world is coming. And it, the world did come to an end, amen? So we have that also to prove that the word of God is true. Now, you have that, and now the Lord is saying that it will be burnt with fire. And he says that in his word many places, and he gave us signs and seasons of when that would happen. And we're right there now. And so this is a very wrong time for you to not believe the word of God. Okay, go ahead.
People are going to talk about those of us that are preaching the gospel because they have always, even in the world in the days of Noah, talked bad about preachers who are bold enough to talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who are bold enough to preach and teach about the end of the world. But the sad thing is that they don't know that every time they scoff at the word of God, and every time they laugh at the word of God and grin and snicker about what the Lord has for me to say about it, it doesn't make any difference, because they just become more and more another sign of the end of time.
Right. You people that are laughing and mocking and scoffing and carrying on and going to Vegas and all these other places where you're having fun, here's just another sign of the end time. Okay, then what?
Now, the things that I'm talking to you about, this world coming to an end, is not a laughing or joking or scoffing or a mocking or a snickering matter. Because you see, there's not going to be any snickering or grinning or laughing in hell and the lake of fire. All there's going to be there is a lot of screams. People will be screaming their heads off and moaning and groaning, gnashing on teeth and chewing on their tongues for pain. In church services, you can see people passing notes to each other and people flirting with each other and people trying to make dates, things like that. But another thing that I'd like to pass along to each one of you people in Radioland and in the church is the Lord sent me to tell you something, that there won't be any note-passing time in the lake of fire, and there won't be any flirting down there. You're going to be so preoccupied with pain in hell and the lake of fire, because when you go to hell and the lake of fire, if you mess around and let your soul be lost, that is, and you go to the lake of fire, there won't be any pens or paper down there, because pens and paper burn up.
But now, paper burns. And hell is the hottest place, and the lake of fire is the hottest place in the universe. We're sitting, we're walking, we're riding right on a ball of fire. This earth, the center of it, is like an inferno. Have you ever heard? That's why a lot of these earthquakes are happening, because of that and the volcanoes. Okay, so we're... You say, well, this world would never burn. It. The world is already burning up inside, okay? All right?
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that that's impossible. It's happening. Even the seismologists and all these geologists will tell you that there's the world's on fire right now. Amen?
Amen.
So all that fire has to do is just ignite and happen right here on the top of the earth and in you. Because you're made out of the same atoms that that lava is made out of in hell and the lake of fire. Okay, then what? And you don't realize that, you know, because you're, I hate to say it, but I just have to. You're an ignoramuses. Ignoramuses, all right? Some people say ignorant. No, you're just ignorant to a lot of things, aren't you? Okay, then what else?
But if you had paper and pencil, there wouldn't be anything you'd want to write down there in hell. So there's no note writing.
Yeah, because you'd have to, you know, write it on brimstone. All right? Because there's nothing down there but brimstone and fire. All right, then what else?
So there's no note writing or note passing or snickering or grinning or laughing or joking. No scoffing or mocking in hell and the lake of fire. I'm talking about the present world now. The first mark of the present world is that it is a scoffing world, a mockery. Not only is it a scoffing world, but it is also a sinning world.
Right. Anytime you see in the Bible where the Lord tells you to do something, you don't do it, that's mocking God. And that's sinning. That's a sin. Okay, then what?
So we have to go back to the passage of 2 Peter chapter 3, which says in the third verse, quote, scoffers walking after their own lusts, unquote.
Yeah, are people walking after their own lusts today?
Yes.
And you people out there got any lusts? I'm talking to you. What are you lusting for today? Same thing you were yesterday or what? Got any new lusts? Okay, then what?
People want to know, why do people mock and scoff and laugh at the gospel? It's because there is the devil. The spirit of Satan is living in them. They scoff because the problem, again, is not only in their minds, but the problem is also in their heart, their spirit, their soul. Their problem is also in their flesh, because they have every lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You show me a scoffer, and I'll show you somebody who mocks and laughs at the things that are spiritual.
The things that are, the Lord said, amen?
Amen.
Because they love this present world and they don't want to deny themselves from it or take up a cross and walk in a crucified manner as the Lord did on this earth, because their destiny is the lake of fire, hell in the lake of fire. And they don't mind it right now. But when they're there is when they're going to be sorry and they're going to realize how absolutely ridiculously ignorant and stupid they were. And they'll want to just die, but they can't die in hell, in the lake of fire. No one can die. The soul that's in us now is going to live on forever somewhere. It's either heaven or hell. Okay, then what?
Right now, we're living in a time when you can see the mockers and scoffers, those that laugh at the things that are spiritual, the things that are part of God, divine things. So therefore, this is all sin, and they're sinning because they're filled with all the lusts of the flesh. It isn't that they can't believe. The problem is that they will not believe. They have a big problem. It's a moral problem. They want to continue sinning because of the lusts of the flesh. They don't want to stop sinning. They don't want to believe because they love sin so much. They have sin-loving hearts. So the devil has signed his name in the chambers of these sinners' hearts. They are like crypts or tombs, men and women that scoff and mock and laugh and make fun of the sacred doctrine of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
They are the autograph of Satan. He has them. He knows he's got them, and he signs his name on their soul. Okay, then what?
So the world that we presently are living in is a sinning world. It is also a mocking and scoffing world. This present world is also a condemned world. It's going to burn. You're not going to be laughing about it. You're going to be mocking and scoffing and paying no attention when it happens. You're going to be so focused. You're going to believe it, but you just don't believe it now. Going back to verse 7 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter.
Yeah, you're not going to be scoffing and mocking when that happens. When you're like being cast into a volcano and there's no stopping the pain or no passing out or no painkillers, nothing. It's just hardcore pain. No morphine, nothing down there. Okay, go ahead.
Going back to verse 7 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter, it states, quote, the heavens and the earth, which are now, the time we're presently living in now.
Now see, the world is round. Nobody believe it. Now here's another one. The world, what? This is also the word of God.
The heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word of God, are kept in store, kept the way the Lord wants it, because it's reserved unto fire against the day of judgment.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, if the Bible says that the world is round and nobody believed it, but somebody that read that in the Bible and believed it, and now people are reading this in the Bible and they don't believe it, and they're laughing and mocking that this is reserved, this world, unto fire? But do you believe that? Noah says that the world was reserved unto being drowned, everyone drowned. Do you believe that happened? It did. And it's going to burn, and it's going to happen real soon, because all the signs in this society are the same as they were in the society that Noah lived in, that God got so ticked off that he made them into to be drowned. Now he's going to toast everybody. Okay, then what?
So this world, you see, is already sentenced and condemned. The judgment is already passed. It's going to burn no matter what anybody believes or doesn't believe. It's going to burn, and the people that are of the world are going to burn up with it, but they'll be burning eternally. So judgment has already been passed on this world. God has already condemned it and has passed judgment on this world meaning the people in it and this actual world itself. So the Bible tells us that this condemned world, verse 7, is, quote, reserved unto fire, unquote. That literally means that this world is set aside and is stored up to be burned. It's stored. So if you look very closely at verse 7, it states, quote, the heavens and the earth, which are now, are in the present, by the same word are kept in store.
The same word that said that the world is going to drown is now in store. You know what's in store for you? You're going to burn if you don't become born again in the Spirit. That's what's stored up for you. This world is definitely, because God said so, it's going to burn. Now, when God says something, that's it. Okay? No matter what you think, it's going to happen. There's no way you can stop it. Now, if everybody on the Titanic transferred the furniture onto the other side of the Titanic, you think that it wouldn't have sunk? Huh? There was no way that they could change that, right?
Right.
Move all the chairs, boys. Get them on the other side. The bar stools, come on, get them over there. And you're not going to stop the fire. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
By the same word are kept in store. They're stored up now like in a pantry. Reserved. This world has a reservation to be burnt with fire. So you make a reservation to go to a restaurant or to some place, and the place is reserved for you. The world is reserved unto fire, and they are stored with fire. You may ask, well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is that everything in the universe has a molecular, atomic-type construction. And when this particular passage of Scripture was written, what we know as science today had not discovered at that time.
No, nobody knew that there was atoms back then, amen?
Amen.
And that you could split them and make atomic bombs out of them. Didn't know that everything that was made, that we can see, was made out of atoms, but it was printed way back then. That also proves that the Word of God is true, amen?
Amen.
Scientists just caught up with that not long ago. You know, since the Wright brothers happened until us going up to the moon and into Mars, that's only about 60 some or 70 years ago. Knowledge has increased, amen?
Amen.
The first, I mean, they were running down the runway, you know, with these artificial wings on their arms, and they'd go up about 10 feet, and then they'd come down miserably crashing. And now they're up in the moon and around Mars and every place like that. So all this happened within the last 70 years. Amen?
Amen.
That's true. Okay, then what?
The atom, which is the smallest element known to man, is reserved and stored in fire. So all God has to do is just ignite the elements, the atoms, and everything goes up in flames. This will be done through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Peter to write these words, knowing at that time. Peter wrote down one of the most tremendous scientific facts that have ever come to be known to man when he told us that the heavens and the earth, which are now, at the present, are stored with fire. Again, the atom, which is the smallest element in the world, is an atomic molecular structure of material in the universe, and it is indescribably filled with fire power. That means everything in the world, the smallest atom is the smallest element, and it is stored up, reserved with fire. That means that everything we see in the material world is to be burned up in that fire. Everything materially is stored with fire. So everything in the universe is composed of atoms, and the things that we see are made out of things we can't see. You can't see the atoms, and you can't see the firepower that is stored in them. So the actual house or the office that I work in here is stored with fire. The clothing that I wear and the clothing that you wear is filled with fire. It is stored with fire. All the furniture, the carpet, draperies in your houses are filled with fire. The church that I preach in and teach in, the tapes I record my messages on, are stored with fire.
Your television sets, your CD players, your phonograph, everything that you use, your pots and pans and dishes, everything is made out of atoms. Amen?
Amen.
The tile, the carpet that you walk on, the dirt outside, the trees, the grass, every plant, every bird, every animal, every bug, every creep, every lying person is made out of atoms. Every adulteress, every adulterer, everybody, every porn star is made out of atoms. Amen?
Amen.
Your flesh is made out of atoms. Your eyebrows, your eyelashes, your nostrils, your lips, your teeth, it's all made out of atoms. Your toenails. And what else?
The vehicle that I ride in is stored with fire. Everything's made of atoms. The food we eat is stored with fire. The earth is stored with fire. The water we drink is stored with fire. The rocks and the mountains and the hills are stored with fire. The air that we breathe is stored with fire. All around us is fire. Everything we see is fire. The trees, the bushes, the grass.
The fire is stored inside invisibly, in the atom that you can't see, and the fire you can't see either. Okay, then what?
So all God needs to do is to ignite everything in this world with the exception of those that he lives in, because he's the one that made the atom and created everything in the world that is made out of atoms. Things that we see are made out of atoms, and things that we can't see. So what is going to happen is the Holy Spirit is going to ignite all this one of these days, and there's going to be a tremendous explosion. The Bible predicts these things.
Yeah, now the people that teach us there's evolution, they say there was a Big Bang. Amen?
Amen.
But that really never happened. It was creation. The Big Bang comes at the end, not at the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, there's going to be a Big Bang, all right. And that's when it's going to destroy all these people that are saying evolution came into the world, or that we all evolved here with the Big Bang theory. Amen?
Amen.
No. What I'm saying, this Big Bang, what the Bible tells about the Big Bang, is no theory. It's the truth. Just like Christopher Columbus saw the circle of the earth in the Word of God. And just like Noah was preaching that the world would be drowned. The Big Bang is coming. The Big Fire is coming. Right now you're believing the things up to this point, the big lie that's in the world. The Lord tells us about all the lies that are being told. And even former President Clinton admitted that he's the world's biggest liar. Amen? But he got caught. All right, what else?
Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. It states, quote, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise."
A big bang. Amen?
Amen.
A great noise. Now, when the Lord says something's great, it's great. Now, all these people, they talk about sound pollution. It'll hurt your eardrums. You better get some earplugs. But they won't do you any good, right? Because the earplugs are going to burn up too. All right, then what?
"And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Unquote. So the whole universe is an actual firebomb. The smallest element in the world is the atom, a molecular structure of material, and it is indescribably filled with fire power. The world is an actual fireball. So everything in the world is made out of the smallest thing, which is an atom, the smallest element in the world, which is stored up, reserved with fire. That means that everything that you see in the material world is to be burned up in fire. The Lord is coming like a thief in the night. That means that there isn't a soul in the world that knows when a thief in the night is going to come. And this means that you aren't going to know when it's going to happen. But it's going to happen as a thief in the night, in the which, quote, the heavens shall pass away, the Bible says, with a great noise. Unquote.
A big bang. It's like Ricky Martin says, she bangs, man. The whole earth, she's bangs. It's going to bang, amen? She's going to bang. Okay, then what?
That was 2 Peter 3:10. Human beings always get things turned around. The Bible tells us that when the day of the Lord comes, there will be a great noise. The people that preach evolution say that there was a big bang at the beginning of the world, but actually the big bang is coming at the end of the world. Verse 10 states that the very elements are going to burn, so that could be a nuclear reaction, and God would cause that nuclear reaction by igniting the atoms. That means that even the dirt of the ground and water will burn up. Quote, and the elements shall melt, unquote, the Bible says. The elements shall melt, and it states it shall melt with a fervent heat. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Now the heat of this big fire that's coming, the people that are on their way to hell in the lake of fire, the fire will be inside them, just like the fire, the heat of a fever, that's trapped in a person's body on the inside. And the reason that there's so much heat in their body is because the heat can't get out. And so the only way that you can break that fever is to get the fever out of you that's stuck inside. That's the only way you can get well. But when the fire is inside of you, when the Lord ignites it, there's no way you can get that fire, that fever, out of you. The same kind of inference, saying that there is a fervent heat, and it's worse than any fever that anybody could have, but it is like a fever because it can't get outside of you. It's in you forever, and it's horrible, and it's like a tormenting fever that you can never get rid of. Because of the fact that we are made of atoms, and the fire is stored in them, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This fire that is inside of us, if we are on our way to the pit of hell and the lake of fire, it is a fervent heat, and nothing can come out of us. It is an inside heat. It is all stored up inside of those that are lost, that is. So look at all the brothers and sisters in the church and people that claim to be brothers and sisters, because everything that we are looking at one day is destined to be destroyed by fire unless you are definitely a son or daughter of the living God. There's no way that we can change what the Lord said. There's nothing that we can do to stop the inevitable, nothing that we can do to stop the world from being destroyed by fire. Nothing at all. Are we going to try to stop the world from burning, from being destroyed by fire? It's the same thing as trying to stop yourself from dying. So we know that in the Old Testament...
We're trying to stop the Titanic from sinking by moving the furniture around. Okay, what else?
So we know that in the Old Testament, the Spirit, number one, is the Spirit of God in God's creation of the universe. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And number two, the Spirit of the Lord, Jehovah, and God's reaching out to man and his care for living things. Judges chapter 3, verse 10, and chapter 6, verse 34. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And number three, the Spirit of holiness in God's making his chosen people holy unto himself.
Right. Now the Lord makes us holy for our own good. Amen.
Amen.
He gives us the power to be able to keep all the commandments, because the Lord is like a spirit is like a fiery flame that keeps us from the fire that's coming. He gives us the power to live eternally in heaven and in ecstasy. And that can happen right now. I see my time is up. If you just say this prayer, that's the beginning of having God's life live in you. So just repeat this prayer to the Lord and mean it, and you'll be born again of the Spirit, and you'll escape the big fire. And it's coming, just like the flood did. So say these words to the Lord. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you are God. You raised yourself up. You laid your life down and you raised it back up. No one could take your life. You laid it down for us. Lord, I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart. Lord Jesus, wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're the very air. You're everywhere. I know you've heard my voice, and I know you've answered me, and therefore I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord for your salvation and that for giving you the power to escape this big fire that's coming, the fire that no one can stop. Praise the Lord. Now, at the beginning of the program, I told you that you could order a copy of this tape or CD if you want one. It's free. A Bible's free if you don't have the money to buy one. And also the Messiah book in many languages. And also literature in these tapes. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive it.
Go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. All right, until tomorrow, don't fail to tune in tomorrow for Part 67 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and keep praising and thanking the Lord. Amen.